our attention as he preaches to us from Psalm 92.
Good to be back. Thought you guys all forgot about me, but you do recognize me, so that's nice. get all my papers together here. Can you hear me all right? Good. Okay. First, we'll go to our scripture lesson for the message, Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And I'll read the whole chapter. Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also have seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. May God bless the reading of his holy word. I have a question for you today. How familiar are you with houseplants? People grow houseplants? Yep. There was a time in my life when I was not at all familiar with houseplants. So growing up, I didn't have any plants in my room, and my mother wasn't into houseplants, and so just never really thought about it. But then I married my wife, Ruth. Ruth loves houseplants, outdoor plants, garden plants, etc. Ruth loves all kinds of plants. When Ruth and I were first married, we lived in a small apartment, and I counted how many plants she had. Ruth had 57 houseplants in that small apartment. 19 of those plants were in our bedroom. Some of those houseplants had crawling vines, which grew very fast. And when I went to sleep at night, I expected to find the vines wrapped around my neck. You know, the Latin name would be Chocas husbandus, something like that. But never happened. You know, she kept them back from strangling me. And when I was pastor of the Ringo's Church in Ringo's, New Jersey, they had a lot of property, and Ruth had a huge garden which provided vegetables for us and many people in the church. She used to can some, you know, put them in the jars and everything and dry them out and put some in the freezer. And they didn't pay me much money when I was at Ringo. It was a very small church. And we really actually used them on into the spring. They would last us from one summer into the next spring. Now, we still have a lot of houseplants in Mays Landing, and Ruth has a big garden again. And I've learned to appreciate all of this, and I'm glad that Ruth has such a love for God's handiwork in the plant world. It's a beautiful thing to see. It reminds me of how we were supposed to take care of the garden, Adam and Eve in the garden, and it's really reminiscent of that. Now, what does all this have to do with the message today? Well, God at times in Scripture compares the spiritual experience of believers to the plant life which he created. And we see this in our text, which we read earlier, in Psalm 92, 12a, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Since God has made this comparison, it seems that he would expect us to learn something about the palm tree so we can fully more appreciate what he means. Now, I decided to do some research on the palm tree, and I hope this message will firstly make you desire to be a palm tree Christian, and secondly, will also spark in you an overwhelming curiosity to research the natural imagery that the Creator himself has given us in his word. He created the plant life. If he compares it to you, what does he mean by that? What is it to be a palm tree believer? Now we'll see what lessons God has for us in this comparison. And I'm not being exhaustive. Much more could be said than I'm going to say. But the righteous being like the palm tree. Now the righteous that are spoken of here, we have to understand that first, are those who have confessed their sin to God and have trusted that he has had mercy upon them. The righteous are those who, having been forgiven, are now seeking to obey God, not to save themselves, but out of love for him and the way to the life more abundant. In the Old Testament times, they could only look forward to the coming of the Messiah, and not having God's full revelation, they could not know that their forgiveness by God was based on the sacrifice of the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Christos, the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not know that he would make them perfectly righteous because his perfect righteousness would be imputed to them. They could not know that it was only by the power of the Holy Spirit that they were brought to repentance and faith and were enabled to continue in works of righteousness, as Ephesians 2:10 tells us, the good works which believers are foreordained to walk in. But even though they did not have God's completed word, as do we, God tells us they could flourish like the palm tree. The Psalms were written around 1,000 years before Christ. Now, stop and think. How much more should we who do have God's completed word, Old and New Testament, should we be able to flourish like the palm tree? To whom much is given, much will be required. Now, what does it mean to flourish like a palm tree? To flourish, of course, means to grow luxuriantly, not just a few leaves here and there, to grow luxuriantly. And also, with a palm tree, it means to grow luxuriantly in a harsh ground with a relentless desert sun constantly beating down on it. The palm tree is a picture of thriving life in the midst of death. How many times have we seen pictures of the desert? And what does it look like? It's all dry and cracked and bleached bones of animals, parched ground everywhere. But there, in the middle of all this desolation, there stands the palm tree, towering high above everything. There it is, with long, graceful leaves and sometimes hundreds of pounds of fruit at the very top. It's no wonder that the palm tree is the symbol of victory and rejoicing. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was entering Jerusalem just before his crucifixion, the triumphant entry, the people welcomed him with what? Shouts of Hosanna. And what did they throw in his path? Palm leaves. They were expecting a different kind of victory and had no idea that those victory palm leaves were celebrating the greatest victory of all when he defeated our own sin and Satan and the world. In the book of Revelation, the multitude that are praising God and the victorious Lamb, what are they holding in their hands? Victorious palm leaves. But why is it that the palm tree can have a flourishing, victorious life in the midst of death, surrounded by death and desolation? It's because the palm tree has a taproot, a long taproot that can reach far into the ground to an underground spring. Can reach down to water that the other plants can't reach down to. The rich springs, that refreshing water, give it nourishment that other plants can't get to. We, as Christians, are called to a flourishing, victorious life in the midst of death. Even our bodies, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come first, these bodies, this body you're looking at right here, I know it's pretty terrible to look at as it is, but one day it's going to die. Death is all around us, even within ourselves. But our taproot, the taproot of our souls, once we're born again into the kingdom of God, our taproot reaches into heaven itself and is rooted in Jesus Christ, who will give us the victory over every harsh affliction in this world of death. That's where our taproot goes. Other people who don't know the Lord, who haven't been born again into his kingdom, they have no taproot that can reach into heaven itself and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who has all power in heaven and earth. And this is what he did for the children of Israel as they were in harsh affliction. Let's read. I'll read to you Exodus 1, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, they set taskmasters, that's the Egyptians, over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So let us rejoice that we will not just survive harsh afflictions, but we will actually be made to flourish in those harsh afflictions. Another interesting characteristic of the palm tree is it grows from within and it pushes out and does not add bark as do other trees. We as Christians are to grow within as we feed on God's word and as the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. I look back to when I was first saved, and the things that bothered me then, the temptations that bothered me then, I don't even think about. They're not even close to being a temptation. You grow spiritually, and you have victory after victory. It's evident if we're truly growing closer to God on the inside, it will soon be evident on the outside. And we should not let that thick, unfeeling bark of hypocrisy grow on us by pretending to be close to the Lord when really inside we're more a part of the world. We'd rather be with the people of the world than the people of the Lord. But how do we grow from within? The palm tree would not flourish if it only received water once or maybe twice on Sunday and no water the rest of the week. We must read God's word and digest it into our souls every day of our lives. And we must speak to the Lord in prayer as we praise him and make our needs and the needs of others known to him. So important, that time with the Lord. And it's really significant. And praise God you're all here. I don't know if all of you know the Lord, but you're here today. Praise God. And that shows that you're trying to grow from within. You're here to praise him and thank him. But you're here listening attentively to the preaching of his word. And this is reaching into the taproot, that taproot you have reaching into heaven. He blesses through the preaching and teaching, the reading of his word, and prayer. Now, the next characteristic of the palm tree is most important. The palm tree cannot be engrafted to another tree. A palm tree is a palm tree, and other trees can in no way be connected to it. We, as Christians, have been passed from death to life, and we are commanded by God to never seek to be grafted to those who are still dead in their sins. We witness to them, yes, and if we can minister to them in some way, we have to realize that our brothers and sisters, they're the ones we draw close to, and we have to know the difference. In fact, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18 tells us this: do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We don't want to try to draw in intimate fellowship and trust with unbelievers. Sometimes, sad to say, believers let us down as we talk to them or trust them in certain ways. But certainly, what accord has Christ with Belial, with the devil? Those people are still in Satan's kingdom. And yes, we want to minister. If there's an unbeliever, your next door neighbor, they need help. You see them moving the couch and they're having trouble. You run over there and lift up the other end of the couch and minister. Minister to them. It's not saying you go off in a monastery somewhere. You minister to people. You help them. But never seek to have your intimate friends among them. They're still servants of Satan. They're in his kingdom, taken captive by him to do his will, as scripture tells us. And so they'll drag you down, and you have to just make sure you recognize that difference. Again, that palm tree difference. You can't be engrafted. Of course, never to look for a husband or wife among unbelievers. It's interesting also, the palm tree is an evergreen. This, of course, means that throughout the year, year after year, there's no change in the color of the tree or the leaves. It seems to be a picture of the unchangeableness of God himself. But so many Christians really live an up and down existence. They're not really feeding on the word regularly and praying to the Lord regularly and fellowshipping with the Lord or with the Lord's people. And so there's this up and down. They don't have that steady, constant walk with the Lord. And it goes again back to the regular digestion of God's word mixed with prayer. And so make time, set aside time. Don't, you know, if maybe an hour, you know, of scripture reading and prayer, maybe that's too much for you in the beginning. Set aside 15 minutes, perhaps, you know, start with something and just get off into your room and open up God's word and read a chapter. And there are so many guides. I'm sure Pastor Cummings or the elders could give you many suggestions of books that you can use, perhaps to read through the book, in, the Bible, in a year or 2 years or whatever, and have that time of prayer. Make that a part of your life. Now, if you've ever seen a palm tree, one of the most striking features is that the fruit and the leaves are at the very top of the tree. It has no branches or leaves anywhere in between on the trunk. One could get the impression that the palm tree only seeks to show its beauty to God, reaching up high like that, where all the leaves and the fruit are. And the needs of mankind are secondary. We Christians sometimes do just the opposite. We're so eager to please mankind that we have little beauty in us that would please the Lord. We want to be cool. And sometimes being cool is actually being worldly, very worldly. And that we want to please mankind and the way men do things rather than please the Lord. We must realize that it is only when we seek to do God's will first that we will be able to be of benefit to ourselves and mankind. I heard it in it was in Sunday school this morning. It was, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek ye first his kingdom. And so as we look at the palm tree, seeking to show its fruit and its leaves, its beauty unto God, but then there is the fruit. It's the palm tree is a very useful tree to mankind. It's useful, and that it's interesting. This is an interesting statistic. There are more than 2,600 kinds of palm trees, so there's a variety. And there are various sizes and fruit that they bear. And the type that is spoken of in the Psalms here is probably fruit called dates. And sugar and wine are made from these dates. But as I said, there's all these other things, these different factors. An interesting thing about the fruit is that the older the tree is, the sweeter the fruit is, as well as more abundant. And so this worldly idea of as you get older, you kind of just retire and don't do much of anything anymore. Well, we look at the palm tree. The older you get, the sweeter the fruit and even more abundant. So we don't need to look at, okay, well, I'm retired from witnessing. I'm retired from this or that in the church. But no, you have much to do, much ministry left in you. We're going to look at the palm tree. Be a palm tree Christian as older people. And we as Christians should be useful by being doers and not talkers. We're called upon to do what? To bear the fruit of the Spirit that was spoken of earlier in the service. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. And like the palm tree, the older we get, as I just said earlier, the sweeter should be our fruit as well as more abundant. Now I could go on. Since no one's objecting, I will go on. No, I won't go on. That's enough, I think. Let me close my comments about the palm tree with this. The palm tree points to where water lies beneath the surface of the desert. Now, I remember Dr. Fisher telling us in our Bible geography class that there are three things that are essential to life in the desert. And the three things are, you can take this down if you want, water, water, and water. So you need to have water. And so the palm tree points to this greatest physical necessity. We as Christians know the only way to eternal life. We know Jesus Christ, and we know that he is the one that can give people the true living water. And if we look, if in John 4:13 and 14, we read this. John 4:13 and 14, if you're writing the text down. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And so that's one ministry that we have all the days of our lives, is the palm tree pointing people to the water of eternal life. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Now, up to now, I've been speaking about the Christian flourishing like the palm tree. And so my message has been for believers primarily right now, up to now. Now, I want to leave the palm tree behind. And I want to speak to anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. I want to point the way to eternal life, as I just spoke about what we should be doing. And it's interesting that it has to do with trees again. I don't know if you've ever really done a word study, but it has to do with trees. There are two trees that you must hear about in the Word of God before the palm tree can have any real spiritual significance for you. And the first tree is found in Genesis 3, and I'm going to begin at verse 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than a beast of the field which the Lord God has made, and said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" He's calling God a liar, the serpent. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves and coverings." Here we see Adam and Eve bringing eternal damnation upon themselves, separation from God because of their sin, and we inherited all their children through the centuries, millions, billions of people born with a sinful nature, born separated from God. God told them as soon as they ate of the fruit of that tree, they would surely die. And they did die spiritually, and their bodies eventually died also, that would happen to them. But they refused to believe God, and they obeyed Satan rather than God in regard to that tree. But now let's turn to 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. And here we find a tree that can bring us from eternal damnation to eternal life. And I'll read that. For to this you were called, he's speaking to believers, of course, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the, he doesn't call it the cross here, the tree. Calls it the tree. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And so we see the cross is sometimes referred to as the tree. And today, Satan is lying to people again, as he lied to Eve and said, God said, don't partake. And he said, yes, partake of that tree. And they died. Well, today is Satan is lying to people again, just as he did to Adam and Eve. But this time, the lie is reversed. Now Satan is telling people and telling you, don't listen to God. Do not partake of the tree on which Jesus Christ died. Do not partake of Jesus, the fruit on that tree, the Lord Jesus. Do not put your faith in him. He is saying that God is a liar, and you will not surely find eternal life. You can listen to Satan and plan on spending eternity in torment, or you can listen to God. By faith, you can partake of Jesus Christ, who died on that tree. Repent of your sins, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you will be saved. May God have mercy on you and give you the grace to believe. Just one last thing I'm going to tell you here. I have to point to another tree. You have to learn about this tree. In Revelation 22, we are told that only those who by God's grace obey the commandment to repent and believe in Jesus Christ will be able to partake of the tree of life in the new heaven and new earth. We see how many trees are so significant in the Bible. May God give you the grace to come to that tree on which Jesus Christ died for your sins. Remember, he rose again, he ascended, and now all authority is his in heaven and earth, and he will enable you to flourish like the palm tree once you're saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for your word. We thank you how we can study it, Lord, and we can see how we have so many lessons for us if we just search. We pray that for all of us here, and hopefully all of us do, by your grace, know you as Savior and Lord. Enable us to flourish like the palm tree for your glory and honor, the blessing of your saints, and to be bright light to those in darkness. If anyone came in this day not really knowing you, we pray that you, Lord Jesus, would enable them to partake of you, what you did on that cross by faith, to trust that your death was sufficient to save them from God's wrath, and also that your perfect righteousness would be imputed to them, and they would know that they are saved by grace alone, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Have mercy, we pray. And we pray that you'd come soon, Lord Jesus. I pray in your precious name. Amen.